Rose, what was your first impression of me? I thought you wore too much makeup and were a slut. I was wrong. You don't wear too much makeup.
On this episode of The Commercial Break,
we're giving this sale a vasectomy. We're cutting it at the nuts. $39.99 today only. Come down to John Dick 4 and get yourself some free ice cream. Don't worry, we got porn and pizza for the kids. Yes. A free pack of Camel Lights to any kid under 18 year old that shows up at John Dick 4 right now.
That's the way it is.
This is our best salesman, Jimmy. He's tried to jump off the roof 4 times this month. You gotta get here quick.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is the brat to my white boy summer, Kristen Joy Hundley. Best to you, Kristen.
Best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Thank you. Staying on trend, staying
on
topic.
That's right, brat.
Trying to get with the kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, truth is, I do so much internet trolling. I'm with it. I get it. I understand. But what's really funny for me right now is watching every news broadcaster in the world struggle for their little pea brains to understand what brat means. It's like, it's so funny. If you watch any of the conservative channels, they're like, she's calling her a brat. That can't be a good thing. Conspiracy afoot. If you watch the more liberal channels or the left-leaning channels, then they're just struggling to understand what this means. I think it means a messy woman. And I'm like, okay, all right. Okay, just try. You can, try. Why don't you just go on the internet and watch some memes, and then you'll understand exactly what brat means.
Exactly.
Kamala is brat. It's not. This doesn't say Kamala. Kamala is a brat. It says Kamala is brat.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie XCX, of course, having a wonderful summer herself.
Brat girl summer.
Brat girl summer with an album that is just killing it and live appearances that are just killing it.
It's a great album.
I listened to some of it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It's a hibbity-dibbity hip-hop, Chrissy.
Yes, it is.
The kids are really boogieing down to that record.
Yes, that'll be.
Who was it? Maybe it was Rachel Maddow. And she was like, Charlie XCX is having a great summer with her record. And I was like, oh, you sound 80. You sound 80. Even she was struggling. Anyway, she's struggling to figure it out, but Charlie XCX is having quite the summer with that album, and it's catchy. You got to admit, it's catchy.
There's usually that one album each summer.
Yep,
that blows up.
It's Brat Summer,
and it's a Brat Summer.
It's a Brat Summer.
I'm here for it.
You know what? It's not. It's not a Katy Perry summer. Is what it's not. Have you been keeping up with this?
No, I've seen a few snippets. I mean, Brian, there's just so much.
I know.
There's so much in the world. There's,
you know how much
so
she's much jingling and jangling around
I
in
know.
My head.
It's like, you know, I was making homemade dumplings the other night, and I don't suggest that.
Oh, that sounds utilitarian.
Trader Joe's does a fantastic job with them frozen, and
yes,
they're so much easier. But I got it in my head. I'm going to make these dumplings. So I was making the homemade dough, and then the filling for it. You know, it's Asian, so I was grating the ginger, making everything, chopping scallions, doing the whole thing. And by the end of it, I was like, this is way too much
for a tiny bite of food that will be gone in 5 seconds.
It was too much work.
Yeah. Leave that to the professionals.
Yeah.
Did you like, were you wrapping them and stuff?
Yes, I was wrapping them.
Yeah,
and
that looks complicated.
So that's what I was trying to say, is that my brain feels like a dumpling that is overfilled. It's squishing out
too much ginger
information. Yeah. I don't know. It's coming at
you're
me
like,
from all
brat,
sides.
Woman's world.
I mean,
Bianca Soros.
Music.
You can't, pulling out politics.
Yeah,
I can't understand
exactly,
it all. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, so. I do have to say, I mean, you live in you have a different perspective of the world because you very carefully choose what you get yourself involved in and what you watch and what you, and I don't. I'm just like, I want to digest it all. I'm like a monster, an information monster. I'm like, I want to stay relevant. It's not that I want to stay relevant. It's that I like to watch the trend. Like, I like that stuff. It's interesting to me, and I like to.
I do too.
Go down those rabbit holes.
I try and sign up for some newsletters that can kind of keep me.
Yeah.
Abreast of everything.
I
have not seen what is the latest Katy Perry.
Katy Perry. I mean, everybody knows Katy Perry, and
of course
she is representative, squarely representative of that 2010s pop world, that pop culture. And in a lot of ways, she was funny, ironic, beautiful. She's like this good Christian girl that kind of, you know,
went
sexy and kissed a girl. And Katy Perry, it was like Katy Perry summer for like five summers in a row.
Mm-hmm.
That one album she put out.
Fireworks.
Yeah, there was only one song, one or two songs out of that album that she put out where, you know, all of them. You remember all of them. There was only one or two of those songs that didn't get into the top 10.
Right.
It was an amazing album. It crushed it. It put her in like the ethos of some of the best pop culture icons ever, musicians ever.
She did the Super Bowl.
Didn't fireworks shoot out of her tits or something?
Probably.
Yes,
I
think that's what
they should have.
They should have. She was the it girl for a long time. And then for some unbelievably, incredibly dumb reason, and I have to say, I think this is where it faltered, where the falter starts to happen a little bit. She just didn't ever had anybody, you know, I imagine, because we'll never know this. Now, I imagine when you get some degree of fame, there's a team of people behind you and a trusted team of people, like people you trust.
Trusted advisors.
Mm-hmm. That's right, Chrissy. We don't have any trusted advice. Blue is our only trusted advisor, and she just yells at everything we do.
My friend Kimmy used to be my trusted advisor, but she moved.
Yeah, she moved. And listen.
Well, you still laugh about that trusted advisor.
Kimmy's a brat.
Kimmy's
brat. That's Kimmy's brat. Kind of messy, party girl, you know. But a rock star, nonetheless.
Yes.
So, Katy makes this move to American Idol for some reason.
I knew she was on that.
And I imagine that her team says, one of the biggest television shows in the world, you're going to get so much exposure, you can branch out into other things, it's just going to be great for your career.
Well, I feel like everybody, or a lot of the big names, kind of rotate in and out on these types of shows. America's Got Talent,
yeah.
Masked Singer,
yeah.
American Idol, that kind of thing.
But I don't think you ever see like super stars. Like, has Lady Gaga ever been on one of those shows? I don't think so, but I don't know.
John Legend
was on. Okay, so there's like exceptions to the rule. Sometimes your fame outshines any mistakes that you make. Like, you make mistakes, you falter, people are there. Katy goes on American Idol, and she becomes a mother, and maybe she's going through a different stage in her life. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's a personal choice. Whatever. Cool. You know, I totally understand. Parenting changes your life. Maybe you're just not that into being out at the clubs and, you know, promoting music and all that stuff. Or maybe you're just not into music at the time. But who knows?
Yeah.
But she does this big comeback album. By all accounts, people are desiring. Like, her fans, the pop culture world, the pop music world is desiring another killer Katy Perry album. She's been, you know, over at American Idol for a while doing her thing. Let's make some fantastic fucking music, Katy. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And I think everybody can agree, you know, listen, Katy's a likable character from all accounts. I'm rooting for her.
Me too.
Right? I'm rooting for her. And, but this incredibly dumb song that she put out, I don't know what she was thinking. First of all, in case you don't know, she was produced by Dr. Luke. Dr. Luke was accused by Kesha of rape.
Oh, it's that guy?
Yes. Was it rape or sexual assault? It was something bad.
Yeah.
And they settled it out of court, and it all got handled. And Dr. Luke, by most people, stayed away from Dr. Luke.
Right.
Because they said, I don't want to be attached to that kind of stigma.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Katy also worked with Dr. Luke. He was largely responsible for a lot of her hits. And for some reason, inexplicable again, she decided, and her management team decided, it'd be great if we hook up again with Dr. Luke. It's not that, you know, I want to be careful about how I say this. I get it. Like, innocent until proven guilty, all that other bullshit. I get it. But I also understand there is perception, there is reality, and then there's just like a healthy dose of pragmatism. Like, this was my good friend, Kesha, and I'm Katy Perry. And even though I made a huge string of hits with Dr. Luke, maybe I should just stay away from him. There are plenty of other well-credited, absolutely talented producers out there that can help me make the album that I want to make.
Nicki fucking Jams,
dude. Well, I can't say anything. Okay. We got to be careful about what we say.
Little inside joke.
Yeah, little inside joke. We'll be careful what we say about Nikki. But love Nikki. Nikki could have been, you know, yes. Nikki could have helped her.
He's
I don't know.
Great producer.
He's a great producer. So, and it's Nikki Jam, by the way. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I keep saying Nikki Jams, and it's not Nikki Jams.
Just Nikki Jam.
It's Jimmy Jams. My brother-in-law, who is much younger than me in Venezuela, who just loves Nikki Jam. I kept calling him Nikki Jams, and he's like, who are you talking about? And I was like, Nikki Jams. And he's like, no, it's Nikki Jam. And I go, I just naturally want to put an S on the end of jam. I don't know why.
Because he has some jams.
He's got some jams.
Yeah.
Yes, he does. So
now we sound 80.
Yeah, now we might be. We're getting there. We're getting close to that. We're getting close to getting down to that village, yep. The villages or whatever it is. So Katie, I don't even think her album's out yet, but she put out the first song called Woman's World or Woman World or whatever it's called. It is not a good song. It is actually a pretty bad song. And the video to go along with it is equally as bad. It's just dumb. I'm sorry. It's just kind of dumb. And all of like the message is supposed to be empowerment. Right.
Right? Women empowerment.
Women empowerment. But the words are kind of like, it'd be as if it was 1952 and someone had just introduced you to the world of women's empowerment, the things you would say, right?
Uh-huh.
It's not a very refined message. And okay, then the video is her in a bikini, like bouncing her boob, like specific boob shots of her boobs bouncing everywhere. It's just weird. Like it's just
kind of contradictory of what, then again, I guess
it could be satire. Right?
Well, or the messages. Women empowerment, that means you can do whatever you want to
yes,
do.
Yes, right? So then she has, it gets so much blowback that she has to put out a Instagram reel that basically shows her with the other women that were in the video, and it shows her, and she's saying something about how satire can be satire if you satire this and satire. Like, when you have to explain the satire, it has probably fallen on deaf ears. If you have to say something is satire, you may not or may or may not be doing it right. Let me be clear about this. I'm rooting for Katie. I don't want to see someone like have to go away, but this is probably one of the worst comeback albums of all time. Comeback songs of all time. Oh, Chrissy, it's not. Could you bibbity bop to it? Sure. Is it going to be blasting from every, you know, convertible in Miami on South? No, it's not. It's not one of those songs.
Yeah.
And she is just getting destroyed in the press.
Oh,
I mean, destroyed. Poor girl. That's why I never want to be like actually famous, like actually like people, because there is nothing like, and I know that I'm contributing to this right now, but I'm just making some commentary. I got to fill time, guys. I got to say that like that kind of fame brings like a microscopic laser beam of attention right on you. And anything you do is going to be panned and praised. It just depends on which stage it is. But there is an American sport. Really, I think like a white person sport, which is tear them down and then hope they come back and then root for them again, right? It's like we all love a comeback story, but we have to manufacture it in order for it to happen. Listen, I get it. It's not a good song. I 100% agree with everybody that's saying not a good song, not a good look, not a good video. But I mean, there are like some super mean-spirited, like very pointed articles out there. And I think to myself, geez, I hope she's not reading any. Who's she married to? Orlando Bloom?
They're not married, but they're together. Yes, and they have the child together.
Oh, they're not married?
Mm-mm.
I thought they were married.
Mm-mm. As far as I know, I don't think they got married.
Huh. What's up, Orlando? Why'd you put a ring on it? What's going on there? It's not Orlando Summer? What's up with that? I would have thought that Orlando probably would have tied that down.
Mm.
What's the last movie Orlando?
But everybody always like gets divorced, so I kind of get it in that world.
God damn, does everybody else get divorced?
You know, I kind of get it in that world.
Everybody gets divorced
in that world.
In every world, everybody gets divorced. It's like a 70%
divorce
rate.
It seems like there's a higher rate though amongst super famous people.
Yeah, well, because I can totally see why that happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally.
Exactly.
Yeah. There is no relation. There's no human being on
money,
earth.
Money, beautiful people everywhere. Yes.
You're out making out with some girl on the set, and you're showing your boobs in every video, and you're, you know, doing press tours without me, and you're at the club because you have to
be time away because you're touring here or making a movie there.
All of it, all of it. I can understand, and I've heard so many famous actors and actresses say this: will not date inside the industry, will not do it. be, and then imagine that. You have to find someone who's got a really special skill set to just be kind of dumb and ignorant. You know who I'm always surprised by? You know who I'm always surprised by that they're still together? Is that Oprah and that Stedman.
Yeah, they never got married.
They never got married.
Same Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. But like that Stedman, he's married to the most famous human being on earth. Married to the
Not
most famous...
Married.
Oh, not married. He's with the most famous, he's partnered with the most famous human being on earth and has been forever, for a long time. You never see him. He's never out. I mean, occasionally you'll see, could snap a photograph or something like that.
Same with Dolly Parton's husband. Actually, they're married.
Yeah.
But yeah, he never surfaces.
Ah, man, I can't imagine. But, you know, if you're looking, if someone famous out there like Dua Lipa or somebody is looking for a non industry person to marry, I am with it. I am not Chuggy anymore. I'm right here. Chrissy's brat. I'm white boy. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's get it together.
Try it out.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Astrid's down.
No, Astrid's not down. No. Astrid would be like, the fuck you are going anywhere. I have suffered with you through years of your bullshit, of your yammering, of your craziness. I have suffered with you. You will be seeing this out. You will be seeing this through. And if you don't like that, my dad will come with his large collection of antique guns to show why you're going to stay.
Hi, Brian.
I'd be like a gimp in the basement in Venezuela somewhere.
Yes, you would be.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. Yeah, but it's easy. It is easy to understand why two heavy hitters in the industry getting together is like a recipe for disaster.
But it's also easy to understand why they would get together, because then the other person understands.
Yeah, that's true. It's like damned if you do, damned if you mm-hmm. don't kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there are lots of exceptions to the rules. I'm not thinking of them right now, but there are Jennifer Aniston, never been married.
She was married to Brad Pitt.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I apologize. I forgot about that one. But that was a short one, wasn't it?
Two or three years? It wasn't short. I wouldn't think that it was maybe for like 5 years or something. And then the whole Angelina thing came along. Well, there you go.
Another example of why it's really hard.
And now they're in a terrible divorce.
Oh, my God. Those two. What's up with
that? They're in a terrible divorce. I read stuff about that all the time. I read this really lengthy article about, because they have that winery. And so a lot of this is over the winery of why they haven't finalized things.
You like drinking so much you had to buy your own winery? You know what I'm saying? You like drinking so much you had to buy your own winery? I mean, Brad Pitt has admitted, I have a problem with alcohol. It was terrible.
He did have a problem.
No, well, that's what I'm saying. He did have a problem with alcohol. I had a problem with alcohol. I had to get sober. It was starting to affect my life. Mm-hmm. And if any of the accounts of some of the stuff that went down are even half true, that's the ugly kind of alcohol, like ugly kind of alcoholic, where you just turn into a mean fucking bastard. And like, in some sense, you can understand how the fame, the money, the prestige, the power can exacerbate your ego and then forget about it. If you're an egotistical person in the first place, I guarantee drinking is not going to make you a better human being. There are two kinds of drunks in this world. There are the happy drunks who are great, wonderful, they're fine, they just get happy, and that can be obnoxious sometimes, but at least they're not hurting anybody. And then there are the
mean...
Like
Karen Lee yesterday?
Oh my God, Karen Lee. Friday. What the fuck was going on with Karen Lee?
Ooh, she was getting tipsy.
I can't believe that video's out there still.
That's so funny.
If I were her, that video would be off the internet the day after it came up. Anyway, and then there's the mean fucking bastard kind of drunk. And we all know those people, but not for long, because you never want to be around them. They're like, nope, fuck that. Forget that. Mm-hmm. I've only met like a couple of like really mean bastard drunks, because I do think they probably more quickly realize they have a problem, because people are like, no, not going to be around.
Hopefully.
It's almost like a blessing in disguise. And as long as you don't actually hurt anybody. It's the happy drunks that are the ones at the end of the bar at 77 years old, just drinking themselves silly. But as I have said before in the past, drinking and drugs is something you should experiment with when you're young, and just go at it when you're old. Because who fucking cares at that point? You're on your way.
When you're old. We're going to run that shit down at the Villages.
Run it! I can't wait to be at the Villages, actually.
I know.
I'm looking forward to it.
We're going to have pimped out golf carts.
Yeah. I'm going to be the guy with like, everybody like has their Trump flags on there. I'm going to have like a kill possums. 21 EPM flag.
Oh, my God. 21 EPM flag. 21 EPM flag. That's what we will be flying.
That's right. I'm going to stay non-political for the rest of my life. All right. Let's take a break and we'll be back.
What's up, haters? Now let's get down to business. If you've got something to say, say it to our faces. And by that, I mean, text us or call us at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You can and should also find us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast, unless you want to fight me, in which case don't. And if you're just desperate to see our shining faces in person, keep your ears peeled for ticketing information about TCB Live. As always, don't forget that you can find everything you could possibly need to find on our beautiful website, tcbpodcast.com. Bye.
Right before you came in here, I was, I'm getting really excited about the Olympics. So I think the Olympic opening ceremonies will have been Friday of last week. And we're recording this the week before, but it would have been Friday of this week. So I'm last week. I'm really excited to get the Olympics underway. Yeah. A little distraction from all the crazy drama that currently fills the news cycle. And also, it's just fun. It's fun when there's like good sport on, good fun, just on in the background sports on 24 hours.
It is. It is good fun. Last night, Jeff and I started watching the Simone Biles
documentary
on Netflix. Mm. It's good.
Is it?
It's really good.
I gotta say, man.
She's amazing.
She is amazeballs. And my daughter, one of my daughters, loves gymnastics and she's good at it. Now, I'm not one of those fathers who's like, Olympian, you know, I'm not, because I don't have the money to do that. So I'm just like,
all the time.
Yeah, keep on going to the local community classes and we'll be fine. Like, I also understand, I heard this one time from somebody and it was the most like clear-headed thing I'd heard about children's sports. We have seen no evidence that traveling teams, extra money, five 10-hour sessions a day for children under the age of 15 improves their chances of being a professional athlete at all. If they are naturally gifted, if they know how to swing a bat or a golf club or whatever, it will come out regardless. Like, they, if they get to it, they find it regardless. And it was like this sports like team expert of some kind. And I thought, wow, that's really good for me because I don't have the money to do any of that shit or the time. You're right about that. Yeah. But anyway, she's really good at it. And so we were watching the Olympic trials a couple of weeks ago and Simone just kills it. I mean, you know, she just does what Simone does. She's flying 12 feet in the air on some of those floor exercise, like the floor exercise routine.
She's incredible.
12 feet in the air, just with her legs.
It's so exciting.
It's crazy.
You should watch that documentary because she did. She had like a mental kind of, well, it wasn't necessarily like a breakdown, but she was psyching herself out. You know, I mean, she wasn't able to keep at that pace of what she was doing since she was like 13 or 14 is when she first made her Olympic debut, I think.
Yeah, this is her fourth Olympics or fifth Olympics, I think.
She said after 2020, she thought she was done. That's when it happened. I mean, imagine too. I was like, God, you're like, you know, early 20s. It's COVID. It's the Olympics.
Yeah.
Like, think about all of the mental things that were going on. So that's crazy. But she's better now and she's like worked it out.
Well, she stated that, I'm sure that like, all of us anybody who's experienced a mental break, I mean, a breakdown, whatever you want to call it, a mental break where you're just like, holy shit, I'm not where I was yesterday and something is off and I'm feeling bad. And
it needs to be addressed.
If you live long enough, you'll go through it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what kind of human being you are. You're going to go through it. And because those things make you have some perspective and self-awareness. So, you know, that's just it. But to have it in front of millions and millions and millions of people is a different animal whatsoever altogether. She had that break while in the middle of routines in the Olympics when she was fighting for gold with her teammates. And this is like the one thing during the COVID when we were all like, you know, okay, I guess we're going to watch. Let's cheer for Simone and the team. And by all accounts, the best gymnast that's ever lived. Yes. And I'm sure after this Olympics, she will be anointed the queen. But just her physical abilities, her prowess, her mental agility, like all of it comes together in such a beautiful way. Mm-hmm. And my daughter and I were watching it. And I always like to point out to my daughter when I see something I think she should pay attention to my daughters, you know, this person, This human is doing things that are borderline superhero, like physically illegal.
Yes.
And mentally illegal, superhero level type shit. She's got superpowers. And you can do anything you want. Don't listen to anybody. You can do anything that you want that's within your physical mental abilities.
And my budget.
And my budget. And my time. And whether or not I'm going to let you out of the house wearing that outfit.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm still a dad. Yeah, I got a dad in me, right? But I like to point that out. And she was just so fascinated by
Simone
flying so high in the air. So anyway, so I'm watching all of the, you know, pre-Olympic trials and all that other stuff. And today they had on. USA had it on for whatever reason. What happened to USA? What happened to that network? What's going on there?
Yeah.
It's like a weird sports, interesting teledramedy.
I don't know, but it's funny that you bring that up because we were just talking with Gina Gershon.
Yeah.
And that was last week, right?
This week. It got released this week. It was yesterday. We talked
Which,
to Gina.
By the time we're airing this, it would have been last week. Anyway, she was talking about the Pray for... Rock and roll or
Pray for Rock and Roll.
Yep. Pray for Rock and Roll. And I was looking it up and it came out on USA.
Oh, they had it on USA?
No, I mean, it's not still up there.
Okay, but that's one
you're
that's
correct.
Where it broadcast.
What happened to that station?
Yeah, what
it's
happened to that station?
It's one of the ones.
I don't know. It's one of the USA, TNT, TBS. They all kind of like Truth or True TV. They all kind of like got weird. Anyway, watching it on USA, they had rugby on, which is fucking murder ball. Yeah. That's what they should call that is murder ball. Half the guys have tissue hanging out of their nose. The other half of the guys have like literal broken arms just dangling in weird places. Yeah. You know, knees all scraped up, one foot missing. You know, one guy's got like a brain bleed, like just like pouring out of his head. And they just go and they're just running into each other.
Rough.
And then now they have this weird thing. I don't understand rugby to save my life. I actually looked up Rugby for Dummies. I read it. I still don't understand rugby. Have no clue. I couldn't tell you one thing about rugby. But it's an interesting sport to watch because there seems to be just chaos going on at all times.
Yeah.
They're throwing the ball left. They're throwing it right. They
Isn't
throw
it like
backwards.
A big Northeast sport?
It's a big like Ireland, Great Britain, I think Norway, Sweden.
Okay.
I think down in Africa they play it a lot. I don't know, Chrissy. I have no fucking clue. Like, here's what I know about it. Here's the limited knowledge.
Murder ball.
That's what it should be called because it is this, the weird thing they have in rugby, at least on this particular game was. So the guys are running at each other, hugging each other, you know, making that big pack of animals. And then they all swing back and forth, you know, kicking each other in the balls and punching each other in the face and taking teeth out. Like everyone's got fake teeth. They're doing that. And then the ref stops and they're like, the ref is like talking to the audience. Please replay the last play or whatever. He's like talking on the loudspeaker, telling him to put the last play on the jumbotron so he can watch it. So he can determine if there was an illegal tackle made. And I'm like, an illegal tackle? You can literally gouge people's eyes out in that sport. What are you talking about?
Yeah, what's off limits?
And so then like, the announcers are like, so important to keep the safety of the sport. And I'm like, the safety of the sport? These are guys who don't even wear pads. They're the toughest, roughest motherfuckers I have ever seen. Here's my experience with rugby in life. I used to wait tables when I was really young, like seven, like my first waiting tables job in an actual restaurant. I used to wait tables.
This was after McDonald's.
After McDonald's.
Okay. Yeah.
It was at a place called Bertucci's Brick Pizzeria Oven.
Bertucci's.
Yeah. Bertucci's. Brick Oven Pizzeria. You should have seen the line out the fucking door in this white middle class suburban neighborhood. I mean, people were like, ah!
Well, that was back when Brick Oven was huge.
Oh, yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah. It was like it had just been invented by Italians and shipped over.
Right.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it's been going on for centuries.
Yeah.
But
on the back of the menu, there was like this long story about the Brick Oven, and we used to have to know it by heart. And it was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
This is a big deal.
This is the same restaurant where the manager took me to a Carlos Santana concert.
I remember you talking about that.
Oh, my God. It was so weird. The managers were, like, mingling with really young kids. And, I mean, nothing untoward happened to me anyway. But it was just – it was a great experience, but it was a little bit weird looking back on it. But anyway, so we waited tables. When the restaurant opened, there was, like, a group of us who opened the restaurant as the first people who worked there. And one of the guys, his name was Ronan. And
yeah.
Ronan was, like, 6'2", 7,000 pounds – of brick oven pizzeria. You know what I'm saying? He was the brick oven. He was huge. Nicest fucking dude you ever met in your entire life. So sweet and gentle and would like take
you. He was your age?
No. He was like in his mid-20s or something like that. But he would come in and he'd grab you and give you a hug and he'd break one of your ribs and you'd be like,
come here, bro. Yeah,
drank Guinness like a fish. I mean, the guy was just like, he was a typical stout Irish boy. And he played rugby. Oh. And I didn't even know. I mean, I knew rugby was a sport, but I had never, ever
had anything to
do with it. And he invited me one time to come see the guys play rugby. Come see the guys play rugby. We'll buy you a couple beers afterwards. I'm like 17 years old, right? And I'm like, oh my God,
beer.
Awesome. Beer.
Yes, I'll be there.
I didn't even really drink at that age, so I think I probably just pretended like I was drinking it. But so we went to this game, and I could not believe this match. I could not believe my eyes. Like, Chrissy, legs were dangling in weird ways and arms were getting thrown in the back and guys were sticking like these things up their nose because blood was just gushing out of it. It was bloody, mangled fucking mess. They were dirty and nasty and they were the maniest men I have ever seen in my entire life. And I remember
that
my balls shriveled around those guys because I was like, here I am. I got a chain around my wallet. I'm wearing Doc Martens with big hoop jeans. I am literally.
I'm picturing it.
But they were so fucking cool. A lot of them from Europe, like Great Britain, Ireland, whatever. And a few Americans mixed in there. Black, white, all different colors. And we went out afterwards. And these guys, they got drunk. They were singing songs. We went to an Irish pub. It was like the whole nine yards. And then they started throwing me around like a little rag doll. They were like, oh, Brian, I love you, mate. And he'd be like, you know, grab me and like toss me to the next guy. And he'd be like, oh, Brian's the best. Brian, Brian, Brian. I was getting thrown around the bar like a little football. And I was like, I mean, I was tiny. Like when I was that age, I was like, you know, maybe 120 pounds sopping wet. And they were just tossing me around like a little rag doll. And it hurt.
Your little plaything.
Yes, but I was their little poodle. They brought a poodle named Brian. They're just going to throw him around. And I loved every second of it, but it was painful when those guys got a hold of you. They were so rough. I think that's just a world that they lived in. So they didn't understand.
They're used to it.
And I remembered not dare say a word. About how I might be in pain right now.
Yeah. No, you had to man up.
Oh, and at the end of the night, like we were all leaving and I was smoking a cigarette and this guy came up behind me, gave me a bear hug. I could hear bones cracking. Yeah. Like the wind came out of me. One of my lungs came out of my mouth and then back in, like one of those toys you squeeze. It was unbelievable. And so I remember specifically asking one of the guys, I don't understand the sport. Mm-hmm. Why are you kicking sometimes, throwing other times? Why do you throw forward and backward and sideways? You know, why are you getting in these big huddles and then, you know, smushing each other around? And he, with his, I think was an Irish accent, went on a 5-minute soliloquy about what a great sport rugby was and how easy it was to understand. I did not pick up a fucking thing. He was saying all of these words, like these terms that I didn't understand. But I guess it's like if someone came from Russia and had never seen a professional football game and you have them sit down and watch a professional football game, you'd be like, the fuck? It's like me trying to explain baseball to my kids.
Right.
They don't understand. They know that people run around the bases and that they're swing the bat, but they have no fucking clue about the infield fly rule. I don't even know about the infield fly rule.
Yeah.
Chrissy, this is murder ball. I can't believe this is still like a thing. Like people are.
It's an Olympic sport.
How are parents letting, this is why there are no high school rugby teams, I think. It's because can you imagine the uproar if kids were just running around and smashing each other left and right?
I think there are high school rugby. Again, I think it's like a Northeast thing.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Well, my next door neighbor, his kid plays big kid. Like when I met him, whenever we moved in here, He was like a squeaky,
lovely,
squeaky little kid, right? And I think he was like 12 at the time, 10, 11, 12, something
now
like that.
Now he's 16.
Now he's 17.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm worried he's going to sleep with my wife. You know what I'm saying? He's like a handsome, handsome kind of dude.
The neighborhood.
Oh, the neighborhood kid. Yeah. I'm like, oh. I used to invite them over to the pool, but now I'm like, let's keep our shirts on, boys. None of that over here.
Hi, Brian. I think we need the neighbor to come over and babysit the kids while you go out.
Well, go have a good time.
No, go.
Go have a good time with your brothers.
I have a cough. You go. We'll handle it from here. Bye bye. I put some money on your debit card. Go to the strip joint. Enjoy yourself. Tasty Tina or whatever it is you say. See you in a couple days.
He's a big kid, handsome kid, yeah, with like, you know, glowing locks of, you know, curled
right,
hair.
I know.
Every time I see him, he plays lacrosse. He's apparently like a
That's what ours did too. Our daughters played lacrosse.
Oh, they did?
In high school.
Okay. So you understand the game?
No.
Okay. I'm just checking.
Even after all those years of going.
Yeah. So he's like back there.
I was just there for the support.
I don't understand a fucking thing. Go lacrosse ball.
A lacrosse ball is good for like rolling on your back.
Oh, yeah.
Like against a wall if you got like a tight spot. Yeah.
You know how I know this? You know how I know this? Because I have a collection of lacrosse balls because the neighbor, even though we live in like our yards are really big and we share like a yard, like a backyard with a fence in the middle, right? And he has one of those spring things where you throw the ball and it bounces back to you.
Oh, yeah.
It's got springs on it. It's like a piece of, you know, nylon or whatever. Uh-huh. And so he takes that lacrosse mallet and he's just tossing it back and forth and back and forth. And it rumbles the house. I think I've mentioned this before. You can hear it. Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, wow.
Boom.
That's kind of annoying.
But you know how many of those balls I found in the pool? Like 80.
Really?
Like 80. Yeah, because they just go over his head and they go right into our pool. But he's out there sometimes like swinging that thing and I'm like, Jesus. I hope I've never had to get, you know, if shit goes down, I hope he's on my team. That's all I got to say. And away from my wife. See you over there.
That's right. Stay away.
Stay away. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break and we'll be back with more shenanigans and fun here on The Commercial Break.
Hi. No, you're not dreaming. And yes, this is a new promo. See, I made you wait, and now look how happy you are. I know you're smiling. Anyway, since we're here, why don't you just hop on over to Instagram and give us a follow at The Commercial Break. Seriously, please, it's getting hard for me to listen to Brian and Chrissy beg. So just follow us on Instagram. Again, that's at The Commercial Break. You can also follow us on TikTok at TCB Podcast. And of course, you know where to go for all things TCB. That is tcbpodcast.com, baby. And of course, you can always text us or call us and leave us a voicemail at 212-433-3TCB. Yep, that phone number is no longer new, but it is still around, and that's a win. 212-433-3TCB. Love you, bye.
Do you know who is everywhere?
Trying to get it out.
Oh. Chrissy's got a cough rag. You know your cough is bad when you have like a cough rag with you.
Laughing about this. Yeah. It's my cough towel.
You look like Biden.
It made me think of the whacking tree for some reason.
The whacking tree. I'm going over to the whacking tree to whack it. Make sure you go over to the whacking tree to whack it.
Cough
down
towel,
by the creek.
Cough towel sounded kind of like cum towel, which made me think of the whacking tree.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go.
The whacking tree.
The whacking tree down by the creek.
I love the whacking tree.
Oh, my God. The whacking tree was one of the funniest Mountain Monster episodes ever.
We need to reference that.
The like
what
tree?
What episode that is, because it's really funny.
I'll find it. I'll tell you next time. I think it's called The Whacking Tree. So if you'd like to, you can just go search it yourself. It's probably season 3. You know, I've seen a lot, like Charlie XCX, okay. But you know who else I've seen a ton of lately, like out there in the pop culture lexicon? Jelly Roll.
Yeah.
Jelly Roll is every
he
fucking
just
where.
At Jeff's Festival, too. I call it Jeff's Festival.
What did you think of his?
He was amazing.
He's got a great voice.
Yeah.
He really does. He's pretty fucking talented.
He was a great performer, too.
Well, yeah. He's like, you know, he's singing for his life out there. He knows what it's like. He's been on the other side of it.
He
knows what it's like.
Yeah, his story is amazing, and he's very talented.
Yeah, he's not one of these pampered, rock stars, you know, pop culture type Joe Jonas bullshit. Joe Jonas. Why am I getting on Joe? I'm getting on Joe because my wife loves Joe, and I just I'm like, whatever, Joe. But Joe's also out there too. He's got a hit also. I saw him with Hannah Berner the other day, Joe Jonas.
Oh.
Anyway, so Jelly Roll is out there, and you know who I saw him with just this morning, like on an Instagram post? It's Brad Williams. Remember Brad Williams came in here?
Yes.
You remember Brad?
Yeah.
Brad is like every fucking where. Brad's everywhere. He's doing everything. He's at concerts. He's at places. He's at festivals. He's like buddying up to everybody. Brad is quite fucking popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I realized quite the extent of Brad's fame when we had him on here. Brad Williams is a comic. He's a little person. He's a comic. He is super fucking funny. I mean, when he came on our show, we didn't even take a breath.
No.
And Brad took it away.
Yeah.
For 45 fucking minutes, Brad just did a routine. And it was really fucking funny. And, you know, he was with Jelly Roll. I mean, the picture is so funny because Jelly Roll is such a huge guy.
Yeah.
And then Brad is not.
Right.
So it is like the difference in the two of them is unbelievable. And I just think to myself, wow, it's a Brad Williams summer. Mm-hmm. And then it's a Jelly Roll summer. And it's a Brad summer. And it's all the, you know, whatever it is. And so I was thinking about Jelly Roll. I see this post with Brad Williams. I scroll up two more times, and guess what I see? I see our friend at the local radio station still giving away Jelly Roll's Bronco.
I thought about that the other day. I was watching TV, and it was Jeep. I think it's Jeep. Maybe. I don't know. Anyways, they were giving away somebody's Jeep.
Oh.
Like.
Yeah.
And I thought that has to be like a thing. I think this was like a football player.
Yeah, yeah, so, I've seen that one too.
Yeah. So I think it's they're taking these famous people, and I guess those people then like customize
the Jeep, it
or the Bronco.
They
or
drive it
is.
For half a mile,
and then
they call
they
it theirs.
Give it away.
Yeah, then they give it away. Yeah. This is the thing with radio stations, television stations. Mm-hmm. It's a giveaway the car summer, but not give away a car. Give away someone famous's car, mm-hmm. or at least that's what they make it seem like.
That they've customized.
Yeah. Well, I mean. In this particular instance, it makes it sound like Jelly Roll is actually driving it around, stopping at Dunkin' Donuts for coffee. I mean, might have. You're right. I can imagine for legal reasons, maybe they told you got to hop in and take a spin around the block and then bring it back and we'll give it away, right? Can you spray some of your cologne in there?
Jelly Roll
smoking
was
dude.
Here.
Yeah.
Carved
put
in
the jelly donut in the middle.
Carved in the dash.
Jelly was here. Jelly was here. But this is like a thing, and everybody's doing it, and it's so interesting to me to see how
that they're still doing giveaways.
No, just like uninspired. It's an interesting angle, but like how uninspired everything is. It's all homogenized now. We're all doing the same thing, and that got me to Googling, you know, this car giveaway thing, and what. After a little bit of digging and like refining my search based on the information that I got, what I figured out is that there is a person out there, a person that works at a promotions like department for one of the radio firms.
Oh, okay.
And they also own television stations. And this person is largely responsible for the trends in radio and television local promotions. Mm. And when he does it, they all do it. And he does this for car companies also, like the local car dealerships, they're often saying the same things, doing the same type of commercials, mm-hmm. having the same type of giveaways or discounts or whatever, because once he anoints it, it just gets rolled out across the country because mm-hmm. they're all part of some big marketing, you know.
Exactly. That's been around for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, we've known that for a while. Like, you know, it's when you have a local car dealership, like, you know, John Dick Ford, like when you have John Dick Ford is not alone in his marketing efforts. He's part of a larger group across the country of other dealerships that also then they team up, essentially. They collaborate on promotions mm-hmm. and commercials and doing these things.
Or they have like the one agency, because I know I used to work for a window company briefly where I did marketing.
Oh, yeah.
And they had one agency that did all of this stuff, and then we'd just kind of customize it for each market, for each city.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So mm-hmm. I remember for a while in the 2000s, I want to say 2005, 2006, 2007, I think I had just gotten divorced, so I had a lot of free time in the Saturday and Sunday mornings to watch television on the local stations where you can buy television time.
Yes.
You know, like WCCC Atlanta, Channel 40, you know, Channel 13, UHF, or whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
You'd see those like off-market stations, like off-brand stations, but they were local to you, on-air kind of thing. And they would, it became a thing for a while where they would have hour-long television commercials from local car dealerships.
Oh, I did one
where
of those
people
one
would
time.
Drive up, yep. Like someone would drive the car God. Up, and then some guy with a loud mouth would be like, "Can you believe this? $99.99, $49.99. Look at these rims. You're not going to believe this has a trunk and an engine. Oh my God, leather seats. You want a radio? FM, AM. Don't you worry about it. We got it covered. This one, $49.99. I'm taking it down to $39.99 for today only. Come on down. We're live at John Dick Ford." Whatever it was.
Did we ever review that one that I was in that I did?
No, you didn't have it. You said you were going to try and find it.
Oh, I got to go back to try and
find
that.
Wait, you were in one of those?
Yes, I was in one of those.
Like, where people just drove cars up?
And I said, Jeff still laughs about it. My tagline was, "We're cutting prices to the bone."
We're cutting prices to the bone. We're going to break a leg. We're amputating prices here at John Dick Ford. We're giving this sale a vasectomy. We're cutting it at the nuts. $39.99 today only. Come down to John Dick Ford. Get yourself some free ice cream. Don't worry. We got porn and pizza for the kids.
Yes.
A free pack of Camel Lights to any kid under 18 year olds that shows up at John Dick Ford right now.
That's the way it is.
This is our best salesman, Jimmy. He's tried to jump off the roof 4 times this month. You got to get here quick.
Yeah, they like feature a car.
Yeah.
You know, in different segments.
Get here quick. Only a John Dick. Come on down.
Oh, yeah.
I
it's
remember
real.
Those. And for a while, it was entertaining to watch.
It is.
Oh, my God. And they inevitably have like beautiful women driving the cars. And then it got to a point where like the girls were in bikini tops.
Right. Like,
come on, guys. Really? I'm sure it worked, though. I'm sure
sex
it
sells.
Works. Sex does sell in everything. And I can't believe you're in one of these, and we need to find this tape.
Where is
Chrissy's embarrassing moments? We need to find them.
Oh, yeah. I'll get it. I'll go looking for it. I'll make a note.
If you find your Ford dealership,
my sister and I watched it. She was cracking.
Of course.
She was like, "I can't believe it.
We're cutting prices to the bone."
It was like this really small market too, like in between Chattanooga and Atlanta, called Ringgold.
Oh, I know Ringgold, Georgia.
Oh. Yeah.
Not like the carpet capital of the world or something.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, think 20 years ago too. So I mean, it was so funny that this, like, I mean, I'm in a golf cart and it's sputtering.
It's just sputtering along, and you show up and go, "We're cutting prices to the bone," and then just like sputter out of the picture.
It's hilarious.
Oh, my God.
The things you do when you're young and work in TV or radio.
I could see how I would do that in a heartbeat. The one time I got invited to be on a television show when I was young was that reality show that one of the producers of Real Housewives was putting together for like this girl that worked at Scamcole FM with us.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be all about her life. Looking back on it, I can see how that was never going to fly. But anyway, I was kind of excited because she invited me to be a part of the shoot. She was like, "We're going to do this scene in a restaurant. I'm sitting here with my friends. I'm celebrating my newfound freedom because I just stopped dating." You know who I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
You know, I ain't got no time for that. I got no time for scrugs. And and so she invited me to be a part of the scene in the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And she's like, "And then you can be in some other scenes too. I got some ideas." And I was like, "Okay, all right, great, fantastic." And then it took so long to set the cameras up that all we did was just sit there and get fucking hammered. So by the time they started rolling the cameras, first of all, it was the middle of the afternoon and the air conditioning didn't work, because of course it didn't, because Simon owned the place. The air conditioning didn't work. Second of all, we're on bottle of wine number like 7 by the time they actually started rolling the cameras.
Sounds a little bit like Hotel Impossible.
Oh, yes. It was Hotel Impossible. I don't know
where I got hammered.
Yeah, I don't know where that footage is, but it's somewhere. But I think the scene only lasted for about a half a minute because the person who was directing the scene, not directing, but filming the scene, quickly realized that we had passed our expiration date and this was not the scene that he wanted. I did not get invited back to the reshoot, just to let you know. Well, you know, you only live once.
You gotta just take life by the vasectomy.
By the disembodied balls. That's what Dad always told me. Grab them by the disembodied ball.
That's what you did for the rugby team.
Oh my God. God bless those rugby guys. If you played rugby, I'd love to hear from you. If you play rugby, if you're... You gotta imagine some of those guys have problems later on in life with their brain. The way that they hit each other, it's so violent and vicious. Anyway, I recorded it. I'll show you. It's so interesting.
I need to see it.
So many of them have tissue up their nose. It's... All right, do us a favor. If you'd like to, please get a hold of us. We'd love to hear from you. There you go. There's rugby right there. We'd love to hear from you.
Murder Ball.
We're watching Murder Ball here in the studio. 212-433-3822. That's 233-3TCB. Text us. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas. We're taking them all. Ask Brian's mom. Ask TCB. We'll give you bad advice. It's free. Don't worry about it. Come down quick to John Dick. Get yourself a new whip. All right. At the commercial break on Instagram. We would love it if you would go there and give us a follow. We certainly would appreciate it. You can also communicate with us, DM us through Instagram, and we will respond. Get your free sticker while they last. Slashing prices today.
To the bone.
Cutting prices to the bone. Go to tcbpodcast.com, hit that contact us button. The drop down menu will say, I want my free sticker. And that's how you get your free sticker. Give us your address and we'll send it away to you. Don't worry, we never sell your information unless someone gives us enough money.
No one's ponied up yet, so no worries.
And thank you to the guy who left the review the other day. Worst podcast ever. You're
thank
welcome.
You for
thank
writing.
You for listening. Mm-hmm. I guarantee he's listening. YouTube.com/thecommercialbreak for full interview episodes and selected clips. Give us a subscribe there too. We certainly would appreciate it. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do for right now.
I think so.
But I'll tell you that I love you.
And I love you.
I'll say best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I always say, we do say, and we must say.
Goodbye.
Cow-killing bastard.